Fructosamine. Fructosamine is an intermediate-term measure of blood glucose control, whereas hemoglobin, A1C, reflects your control over the preceding 8 to 12 weeks, fructosamine reflects your control over the preceding 3 weeks or so. Doctors use it much less often than glucose or A1C. But your doctor may check your fructosamine if your medications are being changed frequently. Cholesterol. Your doctor will check your cholesterol at regular intervals at least once a year. As you will see in Chapter 12, high levels of cholesterol in the blood can damage your heart, major blood vessels, and the delicate blood vessels of the eyes and kidneys. Here are the numbers to aim for. Total cholesterol. According to the U.S. government's National Cholesterol Education Program, total cholesterol should be below 200 milligrams per deciliter, 5.2 millimoles per liter. I suggest you aim for a considerably lower goal, however. First of all, the average cholesterol level in the United States is approximately 205 milligrams per deciliter, 5.3 millimoles per liter, and in a country where heart attacks are the cause of death for half the population, you do not want to be anywhere near average. In large population studies, it is clear that the lower your cholesterol, the lower your risk of heart problems, until you reach a threshold of about 150 milligrams per deciliter, 3.9 millimoles per liter. My suggestion is to use that as your goal rather than the more permissive official figure. Low-density lipoprotein, LDL, cholesterol. LDL cholesterol is often called bad cholesterol because it raises your risk of heart problems and other blood vessel complications. According to the U.S. government, your LDL should be below 100 milligrams per deciliter, 2.6 millimoles per liter, if you have diabetes. And many scientists are now pushing for stricter standards, including reductions to below 70 milligrams per deciliter, 1.8 millimoles per liter, for high-risk patients. Some authorities have called for lowering your LDL by 30 to 40%, regardless of what your starting level is. Your risk of heart problems drops as LDL decreases until you reach a level of approximately 40 milligrams per deciliter, 1.0 millimoles per liter. High-density lipoprotein, HDL cholesterol. HDL cholesterol is often called good cholesterol because it carries cholesterol out of the body. Generally speaking, the higher your HDL cholesterol, the better. Current goals are to have an HDL level above 45 milligrams per deciliter, 1.2 millimoles per liter for men, and above 55 milligrams per deciliter, 1.4 millimoles per liter for women. Some doctors, however, interpret HDL in the context of your total cholesterol concentration. In this case, a favorable HDL reading would be at least one-third of your total cholesterol. For example, if your total cholesterol is 150, a healthy HDL would be 50 or above. This is an important consideration because many people who follow healthful diets do not have much of any kind of cholesterol, LDL, HDL, or anything else. Triglycerides. Triglycerides are tiny fat particles transported in the bloodstream. Normal triglyceride concentration is less than 150 milligrams per deciliter, 1.7 millimoles per liter. Chapter 12 will provide more information on controlling cholesterol and triglycerides. Checking your kidney health. Because your kidneys can easily be affected by diabetes, your doctor will check your kidney health with a simple urine test at least once a year. The goal is to see whether your kidneys are losing protein, specifically a protein molecule called albumin. Albumin itself is not especially important. What is important is that if it shows up in your urine, it is a sign that your kidneys have been affected by diabetes and are not holding on to albumin as they should. Albumin losses of greater than 30 milligrams over 24 hours are considered abnormal. Your doctor will also check your blood for creatinine and estimate your glomerular filtration rate and will interpret the results of these tests for you. For more on factors that influence kidney health, Listen to Chapter 13. Other routine laboratory tests. Your doctor will run other tests to track your progress. The following are two very common ones. Complete blood count, CBC. This test shows the state of your blood cells. Many people with diabetes develop anemia, meaning they have fewer red blood cells than they should. A complete blood count lets your doctor easily check this and many other measures. If your blood count is low, your doctor will investigate the reasons for it, which could include kidney disease, iron deficiency, use of certain medications, abnormal bleeding, or other factors. Chemistry panel. A routine chemistry panel is also known by several other names. It assesses your overall health with a special focus on the status of your kidneys and liver, and lets doctors check for potential adverse effects from medications. There is no reason to despair if any of your laboratory values are not where they should be, but it is definitely a reason to take action. You will want to optimize your diet and work with your doctor to plot a course for tracking the effectiveness of your overall health regimen. Taking stock of your diet. I would like to shift gears now and look at your diet and overall health. First, let's take a minute to make sure your diet is going according to plan. Are your foods vegan? You know you're doing well if there are no foods of animal origin on your plate, not even little bits of fish, fat-free milk, or egg white, nothing. If you have done this right, there is no animal fat, no cholesterol, and no animal protein in your diet. Your menu is built around plant foods, and it is rich in fiber and all the healthy nutrients the plant kingdom brings you. If you need a refresher on why you are doing this, please take another listen to Chapter 4. Are your meals all low in fat? It is important to really keep fats and oils to an absolute minimum. Be careful with nuts and nut products. Are your foods low GI? The main problem foods are sugar, corn syrup, a common sweetener in processed foods, white and whole wheat breads, favor rye and pumpernickel, and baking potatoes. Choose sweet potatoes and yams. Quick fiber check. One way to help gauge how you are doing is with the quick fiber check. It's a handy little tool, and I suggest you do one about once a week as you begin this new approach to eating. Scoring is simple and takes only a minute or two to learn. Soon, estimating the fiber content of virtually everything in the supermarket will be a snap. You will also see if you are getting enough fiber in your daily menu. It does not take long, and it will help you see if you are on track. First, take a minute to jot down everything you ate or drank for one full day, one food or ingredient per line. Then, next to each food, note its fiber score using the following guide. Beans. For each serving of beans or lentils, one serving equaling a half cup, or any food that includes about this amount of beans or lentils as an ingredient, give yourself a 7. 1 cup of soy milk or a half cup of tofu, both made from soybeans, rates a 3. Vegetables. For each serving of vegetables, one serving equaling 1 cup, give yourself a 4. An exception is lettuce, for which 1 cup scores a 2. A potato with skin scores a 4. Without the skin, a 2. Fruit. For each medium piece of fruit, such as an apple, orange, or banana, 1 cup applesauce, a banana smoothie, mark a 3. For 1 cup of juice, mark a 1. Grains. For each piece of white bread, bagel, or equivalent, score a 1. Whole grain breads score a 2, as does 1 cup of cooked pasta. 1 cup of rice scores a 1 for white and a 3 for brown. 1 cup of cooked oatmeal scores a 4. Score a 3 for typical ready-to-eat cereals, a 1 for highly processed and colored cereals, and an 8 for bran. Soda, water, score a 0. Interpreting your score. Total your fiber score, and let's see how you're doing. Less than 20. You need more fiber in your diet. As it is, your appetite will be hard to control and you may have occasional constipation. Boosting fiber will help tame your appetite and cut your risk of many health problems. 20 to 39. You are doing better than most people in Western countries, but as you bring more fiber into your diet, you will find that it makes foods more satisfying and cuts your calorie intake a bit. 40 or more? Congratulations! You have plenty of healthy fiber in your diet to control your appetite and help keep you healthy. Fiber also reduces your risk of developing cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and digestive problems. Checking your weight. Of all the things that predict success in dealing with diabetes, leaving behind excess weight is among the most important. The strategy outlined in Chapter 6 is a highly effective way to go about it. Here are some tips for tracking your progress. First, track your weight. Some people who have been overweight for a long time have not gone near a scale in years. If that sounds like you, give it another try. It is essential to know if you are losing. If not, it is time to change course. Usually that means tuning up your diet. Weight loss is sometimes difficult and genetic tendencies do play a role, but your diet is one thing you really can control. Use the same scale each time you weigh yourself. Different scales can give dramatically different readings. Check your weight at the same time of day each time. With food and water intake, you can easily gain and lose a few pounds in the course of a day. Usually, you will be heavier in the evening. Engaging the success of your weight loss, about 1 pound per week, is a healthful goal. It is about what you can expect if you follow the diet presented in this book without doing particularly vigorous exercise. Slower weight loss is also fine, as long as you are moving in the right direction. Do not rely on exercise alone for weight loss. A healthful diet change can easily trim 300 to 400 calories a day off your daily menu, but burning that many calories through exercise means walking or running 3 or 4 miles a day. Exercise is important, but it cannot begin to take the place of diet changes. Tracking your blood pressure. Maintaining healthy blood pressure is extremely important. As you can imagine, increased pressure inside your arteries can damage the arteries themselves, as well as your heart, eyes, kidneys, and nerves. The longer your blood pressure stays high, the more damage it can do. Problems can travel in the other direction, too. Damage to the kidneys can lead to high blood pressure. The reason is that your kidneys play an important role in regulating your blood pressure, and if they have been assaulted by diabetes, they can lose some of their ability to do this. In Chapter 12, we will look at how diet affects blood pressure. For now, here are your targets. Normal blood pressure is less than 120 over 80 millimeters of mercury. For anyone with diabetes, most doctors will want to keep blood pressure under 130 over 80. If you have kidney involvement or any other complication, the goal will be stricter, typically 125 over 75. Have your blood pressure checked regularly. If it is not where it should be, take another look at your diet and speak with your doctor about what, if any, additional treatments you may need. Checking your eyes. At least once a year, you should have an eye examination by an ophthalmologist to check for any sign of retinopathy. These changes cannot be detected by an ordinary eye examination with a doctor's ophthalmoscope or during an optometric examination for eyeglasses. Also, be sure to see an eye specialist if you have had any changes in your vision. If you smoke, tell your eye doctor. Yes, you will get a lecture, and it is time to listen up if you are still smoking. See Chapter 13 for information on the effects of nutrition on eye health. Checking your feet. Foot problems are common in diabetes. If your blood glucose has been poorly controlled, you are at risk of developing neuropathy, nerve damage, which means you may not be aware of small injuries to your feet. Wound healing may be slowed as well. Small injuries can gradually worsen and become infected. For this reason, you not only want to get your diet into shape by following the guidelines in this book, you also want to have your doctor check your feet at least once a year. The examination will include a check for sensation using a thin plastic thread, a check of your vibratory sense with a tuning fork, and a thorough check for any signs of damage to your skin. Take the advice of Mary Ellen Wolfe, RN, a nurse working with George Washington University, who recommends that you take off your shoes and socks at every doctor's visit to be sure your doctor does not forget to examine your feet. Staying healthy. No matter how healthy you get, you should still keep an eye on your glucose, A1C, and cholesterol, weight, eyes, and feet. But I hope that as you tune up your diet and lifestyle, that is all you will be doing, just confirming that all is just as it should be.